You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Have time to read it all now, but this message is going to pull out little parts of that story, and we're going to take three things that reveal characters of Jesus through the gospel. So Palm Sunday, set the scene. The city's on the top of the hill. They're waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for the Lord to show up. They're laying coats. They're laying palms. Abs told us amazingly. And the first thing that we learn about Jesus through the Gospels and through the story of Palm Sunday is that he was and is a humble servant. That Jesus came as a humble servant, not just a political revolutionary. It says in Matthew 21, verse 1, it opens up by fulfilling a prophecy in Zechariah by saying that Jesus comes riding on a colt. Zechariah 9, verse 9 says, "See, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey." Already, Jesus has fulfilled the prophecy of what was promised in the Old Testament. Right now, in real time, we're seeing the fulfillment of it. Could you imagine being a Jewish leader of the time and you're seeing the real-time fulfillment of what you've grown up in, of the doctrine that you've memorized and put your whole life around that is now playing out in front of you? And you have a choice. Do I acknowledge and surrender, or do I turn the other way? And we see that the crowd starts singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And the people start asking, because of the praise and the worship of the people, "Who is this? Who is this?" But Jesus didn't come for the praises of the people. Jesus didn't come as a military leader. Jesus came as a humble Messiah. You see, Jesus came not to overthrow the Roman Empire, but to defeat the powers of death and sin. Come on, somebody. Is anybody grateful for that? See, Jesus' mission wasn't to win or display political power. Rather, he came to bring a new level of spiritual authority. He came to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Could he have overruled the Roman Empire of the day? Absolutely. But that would have only been a victory for that generation. You see, Jesus didn't just have eyes for the generation that was on the earth when he walked the earth. He had eyes for this generation too. He had eyes for the generations that have sat between us and him. He had a heart for the generations to come after us. You see, Jesus' mission was to destroy the power of sin and death. We learn later in Ephesians when Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Instead of riding into the city on a war horse declaring his authority politically, Jesus rode on a donkey as a symbol of peace and humility rather than aggression. See, Jesus didn't operate in the way that the world expected him to operate, because the kingdom of God isn't the kingdom of the world. They are two different things, and the price to pay in each are completely different. Jesus says you can't be in the world. Well, we're meant to be in the world, but we're meant to be apart from it. Both in it, but different, marked differently. See, the measure of how the kingdom of heaven works, the kingdom of God works, is different to how the world works. So Jesus had to operate in a different way. He knew that a humble servant would be able to defeat the end goal rather than defeating the oppression of the time. You see, the people of the day were being oppressed by the Roman Empire, but sin still enslaved their lives. And Jesus saw the bigger narrative of what his mission was to come and destroy. Many of us want a conquering Jesus in our lives. We love it when preachers preach messages of dominion, don't we? Claim the ground, claim the authority. In Jesus' name, all your finances that you've let to rot in your own life, let them be fixed in Jesus' name. You've not taken responsibility for your own life, but it's okay, dominion. And in a moment, everything will be fixed. Well, actually, Jesus came as a gentle, humble servant to walk through you in the healing process as well as the moment of dominion. You see, Jesus can fix things in a moment, but he also wants to walk with you on a journey of transformation, slowly watching you grow through the things that you need to grow through to be who he has made you to be. See, Jesus comes, first of all, when we first meet him as the Lord of our heart, a gentle servant, not coming to kill and destroy, not coming to overthrow or to take over, coming to be Lord, humble, and to serve and to help us grow into who he's called us to grow into. Jesus' kingdom advances through humility, not just dominion. The kingdom of God is going to grow in Chester, in North Wales, in the rural, not through us going and ramming Jesus through people's throats and taking people's houses off them and being military leaders and leading in that way. No, the kingdom of God is going to be established by us being humble, by us serving the people in our workplaces, by us serving our church community on a Sunday, on a Wednesday at small groups, by getting involved in the life of church and allowing God to use us through a spirit of humility. You see, God's kindness leads us. Romans talks about it leading us to repentance. When you've experienced the kindness and the goodness of God, how can you not repent of the sin that once enslaved you? How can you not be transformed? If God can love me, then I can love somebody else. It'll only be 1% of the measure of love that I felt from the King, but 1% is better than no percent. So how can we all be kind? What would it look like this week for us to operate out of humility and kindness? What would it look like? And what's one thing that you can be intentional about this week to display the love of God in your life? What would it look like for you to be kind to your neighbors on your right and on your left? What would it look like for you to be kind to the church that you're a part of? What would it look like for you to be kind to the people that God has placed you around? What is one thing that you can do this week to display the humility of Jesus to your world? Because I don't think that the world in this current state needs another military leader. It doesn't need a church taking up arms, hey? We don't need more political leaders trying to be military leaders. What we need is Christians that have a revelation of the love of Jesus, going and being the hands and feet, serving their community, displaying love despite their own hurt. Why? Because it's not your measure of love, it's Jesus's. Jesus came to be hated and despised. Throughout the Gospels, we read it, and in the story, the Palm Sunday, we see that Jesus comes to be hated and despised, not just to be a national hero. He will be when he comes again, and we see the fulfillment in every eye will see, every ear will hear, and that they will know that he is Lord. The whole world will turn to him and they will see him and they will know that it is Jesus. But in this moment, Jesus needed to be hated so that he could walk the journey to the cross to not just defeat the Roman Empire and the government of the day, but to defeat the power of death and sin so that we could all live free. It says in Matthew 21, 9 to 10, that the crowds that went ahead of him and all those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heavens." And people turned and they asked, "Who is this?" I just want to speak to every individual in the room, every eye on me. Through your life of worship, people will ask you who Jesus is. And it's up to you whether to open the door and let them in or to feel awkward and then let their eternity hang in the balance. Come on, it's good to be uncomfortable. It's good to be awkward. It's good, if God's good to you, let him be good to somebody else. If God loves you, create ways for him to love somebody else. Crowds, they can be fickle. We see it at the football and at the rugby all the time. One minute, they're cheering for Mo Salah. The next minute, they're booing him. One minute, all of Liverpool loves Trent. The next minute, he's gone on a free and everyone hates him. In a moment, the crowd can change. And over the next 7 days from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, we see the crowd go from Hosanna to hatred. See, Jesus, in that moment, was hated and he was despised, to even the point where they called out for somebody to be released and the crowd called for a murderer to be released over their promised Messiah. But Jesus still remained a humble servant, whether people loved him or they hated him. Jesus put calling above the opinion of the crowd, his followers and the ones that he loved. Jesus was rejected by the people that he came to save. John 1, 11 to 12 tells us, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What are we going to do with Jesus today? Are we going to receive him and become children of God? Or are we going to choose just to walk away? Psalms 18 talks about the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone on which the whole of creation is resting upon. What are you going to do with Jesus? Discipleship isn't easy. It's painful. Good news of the gospel, guess what? Jesus saved you so that you can share in his sufferings with him. Abs has already talked about it this morning. Church isn't meant to just be a good time and some good songs. Yeah, our band is good. Church is meant to cost us something. Your work environment isn't meant to be different to how your small group see you on the Wednesday. You are meant to be integral and be the same person in all rooms that you walk into. What you watch when you're at home on your own or when you're at home with your wife shouldn't be different things. They should be the same thing. The way that you are in the pub on a Friday shouldn't be different to the way that you are on a Sunday morning. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not at all. He either has access to every room in your house or you've believed a lie of the enemy by just letting him in the front door and not actually giving him a tour of your whole life. Discipleship is meant to cost you something. When I became a Christian, it was crazy. Before I'd even responded to Jesus, I had a vision. And I was in a really tough time. I had addiction in my life. I had lack. I had a relationship with my family. I wasn't the person that you see today. And I had closed my eyes and I was sat at my work desk and I had a vision of this guy with a staff and it was almost like a Lord of the Rings, like, you shall not pass moment. And it was like a no more moment. And I remember just being like, who the heck's that guy? It was like, it just flashed in front of me. And I remember just being like, I need to go to church. And I didn't recognize that person was actually Jesus in my life. And that he'd said, no more, Josh. There is more on your life than this. There is a purpose. You need to go and have a revelation on me, have your life transformed so that you can be a blessing to other people. And then I walked into Audacious Church and my life was changed, not because of this church, but because of the roots of discipleship that this church set up. This is why we're so passionate about small groups. This is why we're passionate about the creative team on a Thursday, not just being a creative team, but being a place to discover purpose. I discovered purpose playing bass before I would even call myself a Christian. Why? Because God moves through all things, and the gift that I was using for evil now became the thing that God could turn for good and create environments of breakthrough and encounter for people. But it cost me something. I had to leave members of my family behind. I had to make decisions that I can no longer have a relationship with the man that brought me into the world. Not out of his fault, but because every time it would pull me back to a place. And I had to set my eyes on Jesus and say, no, you're the pioneer and the perfecter of my faith. And for me to step into what you're calling me into, I need to follow you rather than the distractions of the world. John 15, 18 tells us, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Jesus speaking. If you belong to the world, it would love you as your own. Where's Minty? Is she in the room? Minty, it is a joy that it's hard right now. It is a joy because why? Because that means there's actual purpose on the other side of it. And I just saw you worshiping. You are on your knees. Keep that posture. Even though it's hard, God is in it. Discipleship costs you something. Purpose is going to cost you something. But the fact at your age that it's so hard means that on the other side, there's something so great. And I believe it in Jesus' name. So we can't be loved by the world and be fully in our purposes of God at the same time. It says, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And this is why the world hates you. What an encouragement. When your workplace are looking at you thinking, what a weirdo. Why are they doing that? Why won't they engage in this? Why won't they have a conversation about that? But it's normal on a stag do to go to a strip club. Why won't he come with me? Oh, he's at a wedding and he's not drunk. What's going on? But he's still happy. It's good and proper for the world to hate you. Find comfort in being called out of the world and called into being a child of God. Come on. God came to be hated and despised, but in it he remained humble and he served the people that he was placed around. How much do we care about people's eternity? Do we care about it more than us looking different and maybe not being disliked by one or two people? And Jesus came as a suffering savior. He came as a suffering savior and not just a conquering ruler. This is the first day of Passion Week. And it marks the start of the progression of Jesus' journey to the cross. Over the next 7 days, Jesus was spat on, he was beaten, he was cast out. The people that he loved and invested his whole life into, the people that he was going to build his church on, rejected him, physically beaten. Think about that. There was an actual cost. This isn't just a story that we read once a year. This is a real man that endured real pain for me and for you. And I never want to take that lightly. I never want to forget the actual cost that a man went through in the pain and the suffering that he walked so that I didn't have to live underneath the sin that was in my life, but that I could have freedom, that I could experience real life, real love, real grace, real mercy. Hey, somebody in the room, are you thankful for what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me? It says, for the joy set before him, for your face, for my face, for the story that he's writing in your life, he endured the pain of the cross. He didn't just die a death, he died the most shameful, the most painful death. It's a joy that we get to feel this, what we feel in this moment right now. It's a joy that we don't get to sleep for the young people, to see God as their provider. I said to the young people on Friday night, we're raising money, yes, for the youth program, but so that you can grow a muscle of when you know that God's calling you to something, you know that he's the provider of all things. So at 11 years old, when you get asked to raise £100 for your youth ministry, you're learning a muscle of financial dependency, not on the pocket money that your parents put in your pocket, but on the God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. If it's hard, then take joy, take heart. It's not meant to be easy. This is the joy of the gospel, is that we get to share in the sufferings of Christ. Mark 8 tells us, whoever wants to be a disciple of Jesus, Jesus speaking, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. That means that your life can't look like what you want it to look like. That means that job that you really want, you're probably never going to do it. Why? Because our lives aren't our own. I don't get to decide how long I'm going to be a generations pastor for or what the next job is. I've just given up. I'm just going to serve the Lord in the day that he's put me in. I'm going to do what I can today. I'm going to serve the people that God has given me. And I say that not to put eyes on me, but to invite you into the same mindset. It doesn't matter what promotions come in or not come in. It doesn't matter what degree you're about to finish. It doesn't matter what is on the other side. Why? Because success in the way that the world sees it isn't success in the way that the kingdom of God sees it. And actually, the measure of success in the kingdom of God isn't what you gain, but it's what you lose. It's what you're able to surrender and release to God. Let go and let God be God. There is more on a side of surrender than there is on what you can manufacture. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the story of the Messiah that we've been exploring through the history books, through the law that was given, through the prophecies. This is it. It's all led up today. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with Jesus in your life? We're all responsible for ourselves. I want to get to the gates of heaven. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. For I gave you little and you did a lot. Anybody else? I want to create a space and a church that enhances the kingdom of God, that brings heaven on earth. Not for this generation, but in the same way as Jesus had eyes and a heart for the generations to come. We're part of something way bigger. 1 Peter tells us, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when glory is revealed. Join a small group because they can help you find joy in your sufferings. God is about to show your life off as He brings you out of a grave and into glory. And as you live your life as an act of worship, people will ask, who is this? Who is that that you're following? So what are you going to do with Jesus? The band can join me. I got into it then. This was also a really warm choice to wear today. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say I am? And I feel like in the same breath, there's an opportunity today for us to ask the same question. Who do we say that Jesus is? As I was praying this week, I really believed that, or felt that there's a message for people in the room today that see Jesus as Lord, but only as Lord of their crisis, and only as Lord of their need. But when everything's going well, it's fine. It's all good. It's gravy. It's easy. I don't need Jesus now. I'll just go to church. I'll just go to a small group. I won't. Jesus is either Lord of all, or He's not at all. We've all got different thoughts of Jesus. We all like different theologies. We all have different opinions. And as Pastor Lee says, they're like armpits. We all have them. The majority of them stink. We all have ideas of Jesus. But the most important thing, the only thing that matters, is that we all see Jesus as Lord. Not as our doubt. Not as our lack. Not as our opinion or our thoughts or our ideas, but as Lord. Living with a spirit of celebration that doesn't need to understand the entirety of Him, because we'll never fully comprehend the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercies of God. But that's an ongoing journey. All we need to do is celebrate that He is Lord, that He is good, that He is merciful, that He died so that we can have life to the full, and know that understanding will grow out of us making Jesus Lord of our whole lives.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.